B-Pod Studios.
Does matter.
It doesn't matter.
The fact that he's in the Western Conference on the left coast.
First of all, I have him under control.
Let's play the audio.
He can't leave.
For now.
All right.
But nothing lasts forever.
5 years? All right.
Yeah. Here's the audio of Magic Johnson.
He reached out to me, not to me directly, to the Lakers to find out if we can get together this summer. I said, hey, you got to clear it with the league. And got everybody, the Sixers sign off, we sign off, the league sign off. There's not nothing going on, but he wants to know how to play the position as a big guard, It's fine. You know, I will do that. But if everybody doesn't sign off, then we can't get together.
See, there's already misdirection in there, too. He said, he called the Lakers. Ben hit him up.
Right.
Got his digits from LeBron. He texted LeBron and said, yo, can you share me Magic's contact? I want to work with him this summer. And Magic goes, he called the Lakers, and I told him.
I'm not saying you're
He's
crazy.
He's screwing it up.
I'm not saying you're crazy.
I don't like it.
I understand your concern, but I'd rather him go and learn. And you'll learn from Magic. Magic's a perfect guy to learn from.
Yeah. If he wasn't an executive with the Lakers,
okay.
I agree.
All right. I mean, again, I have control of him.
For a period of time.
So he can't leave.
Yeah, for a period of time you do.
5 years.
Yeah. But I know a guy in the NBA can all say, I want out. Okay. And it becomes untenable. Like, that hasn't happened?
Well, it's happened with Anthony Davis.
It's happening right in front of our noses right now.
Yeah.
You're right. And it's going to happen with other guys?
Well,
and it has happened.
But I got to believe in my own organization. Sixers are a special organization. Ben would be a fool to go. Let me tell you something. Ben's a fool if he wanted to go play for the Lakers. First of all, being out there, and because he's not going to win. Yeah, you're not going to win. You have way better chance of winning here.
I'm thinking Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis, and they end up with Kawhi?
I don't think Kawhi's going there. I don't think so. But, by the way, the Sixers are still a better team than the Lakers.
And at the moment, right now they are. This offseason could change that.
There's just so many guys you're going to add with LeBron who's declining.
No, I know. Yeah. And he could pass the torch, LeBron. Boom.
Okay.
LeBron moves into ownership
the torch
too somehow.
On a losing team.
6-1.
Not going to win.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Stay here and build your... Listen, in this age, there's something called first class or private jets. You get to L.A., no problem. You don't need to...
You see the weather out there today? You think he's down for this? This snow and cold? I love it. I don't know that Ben does. He's an Australian. Is he from Melbourne?
I'm not worried about this.
He's looking for the 20-year storm.
I can't worry about something. It's 5 years. I can't worry about it.
I know. I'm just saying I don't like it. Gary in South Jersey's on the Fanatic. What's up, Gar?
Yo, guys. How are you?
What's up, Gar?
Man, you're crazy. He's already in year three. Next year this time, he's going to be in the same spot.
No, because he...
Anthony Davis.
No, but here's the thing. They're going to re-sign him this offseason to a 5-year max deal.
You think that? You think he's going to sign that?
Yes. I don't think he wants to leave.
Do you think Magic Johnson does things out of the goodness of his heart?
There's a lot of that in the NBA.
But let me tell you one thing, Gary. There is a lot of like these older players, they love the ego of a younger player picking their brain.
Yeah, but he's got the connection with LeBron. They have the same, clutch
they don't fit,
or whatever.
But they don't fit together. Ben and LeBron don't fit together.
I'm with you, Gary. I don't mind him learning from Magic Johnson.
But
he's involved with the Lakers.
God, they don't fit together.
Why did he wait 3 years to go reach out to Magic Johnson? He should have been, as soon as he got out of LSU.
I don't know, God. I don't know why he waited. I don't know. Here's the thing. I can't worry about, oh, my God, he's going to leave me.
I'll tell you, Magic Johnson, to me, he is in this role. He's back for, like, the third time doing this. I love the guy, but I have no respect for him. As a executive, he is slime. That guy will do anything. He's starting fires all over the league.
Yeah, no, you're right. I hear your points. I just can't worry about it. And the Sixers are going to sign him, and he can't leave.
What do you think the Sixers are going to say? Are they going to allow him to?
I don't know.
Do this?
I'll ask Elton coming up. We got him on 11:30, so I'll ask him.
Yeah,
you know?
Can't wait.
I mean, this is something that obviously would have to go through the league office. And
I mean, I'll ask him. I can't worry. My only point is this. I can't stay up at night worrying that Ben's going to leave me.
No, I'm not one of those guys that lives in fear, like, this guy's going to leave.
No, I can't worry, like, many years, oh my God, it's Magic Johnson. Like, I don't know, is it, like, you know, here you go, Jace, your wife is going out to work with...
Bradley Cooper.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not happy about it. I'm going, no. You can go out with some ugly dude, you know what I mean? Like Burt Cooper. You ain't going out with Bradley Cooper. Smoking Burt Cooper. He's a Philly guy, too.
Burt Cooper.
Remember him?
Yes.
Let's go to Chris in Northeast Philly on the FedEx. What's up, Chrissy?
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Chris?
Gargano, you're the man, bro.
What's going on, brother? Thank you.
Well, listen to you in the morning. Well, listen, man, we can't be worried about Ben leaving the Sixers. This man gets too much respect here. He'd be a fool to leave. And L.A., just like you said, man, they're not making no news ever since Toby left. So that just tells you right there. And if he did leave, that'd be a lack of disrespect on his end.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't want that.
Yes. Yes. You're right on it. It would be disrespectful for him to do that. I'm with you. I can't live life worrying that he's going to roll. Like, you know, come on, man. You're going to leave this team? Yeah.
You know what he's doing. He's trying to bring us a chip, and that's what he's going to do. If he brings you one, two chips, and it takes 3-4 years... then, you know, you can talk about trading them, but other than that, like you said, he's signed a 5-year deal. It's over and done with.
Yes. I'm with you, brother.
So you're fine with it. You're fine. Go out there and work out with Magic in the summer. You could take little rollerblade rides with the Jenners and the whole thing.
Of course, because of the fact of what Magic said last night or 2 nights ago, saying he wants everyone to sign on for it. He's not being a snake.
He said originally in the quote, he said he contacted the Lakers, and then he said, I told him later in the clip. So you think that everything's on the up and up here? If so, I want to sell you some land in the swamp.
Why wouldn't he want to get trained by him? Matty Johnson was a
I'm saying I'm fine with that. You can want to get trained by him, Chris. The fact of the matter is he's an executive and recruiting tool for the Lakers. That's the fact. And that can't be disputed. Let's go to Avalon Brian. AB, what's up? You're on the Fanatic.
Dude, I can't believe that Anthony Gargano is saying he's okay with...
I'm stunned, AB. I almost fell out of this chair.
I'm losing my mind. Magic Johnson, with his gesture-tack smile, I can see him smirking on a 30-for-30 10 years ago.
How he stole Ben?
Yeah. I had to have him for the Lakers.
I mean, he can't. Yeah, but here's the thing, AB, he can't leave. You're going to sign him to a max deal.
He can tell him, hey, listen, this is what you need to do. Pick a fight with JoJo. Tell him you need out. Tell him it's him or me.
Whatever. I mean, listen, I can't be held hostage by the whims of a 22-year-old kid. I'm not, I mean, seriously. Right. If I feel like he can help, Magic Johnson can help him out, I want him to take that growth level. And these great players can help young players. I've seen it.
As a father who has a daughter, she's not dating age yet, thank God, but this is where you put your foot down.
Stop talking about this nonsense. Talk about how great they are playing right now.
And give me some Elton Brand, AB.
Talk about how great they're playing right now.
They're playing amazing. Listen, Elton Brand. Hold on. Last thing I'll imagine, I can't have him playing pickup ball over the...
He can't let it go.
In Malibu.
Oh, my, don't know.
They play pickup ball anyway, AB.
But listen, Elton Brand. The beauty of him, he came in. He moved back here after he retired, laid down roots. He lives on the main line. He wanted to be one of us. That's the beauty of the build here. He gets it. If anybody can keep people here and attract people here, he's been a superstar player. The guy's got it all. It couldn't have worked out better than getting that clown Colangelo out of here.
It worked out. It's amazing, right? It worked out so perfectly. Like, you believe it was in the stars. Like, you believe it was meant to be. That, you know, the universe would straighten this mess out, and it did.
Yeah. I mean, he's got it all, right? He's the Duke pedigree. He's an all-star. He signed Max contract. Everything about Elton, I mean, he's made to be the GM of this team.
Yeah, the other thing, thanks, AB, we've talked about this. He's a player that played recently. He's a really smart guy. He's not a guy that's really reactive. He seems really calculated and precise. And the fact that he can relate to the players today. So when it comes to acquiring guys and the skills that they need in today's NBA, couple that in with the fact that when it comes to re-signing these guys, they're not like generations apart.
He's got respect. When you play in the league, you get respect. Mm-hmm. He's definitely got respect.
Cachet.
Yeah, without a doubt. But it's amazing how everything worked out perfectly.
Because sometimes you don't think it's going to you.
Everything worked out perfectly. It just did. It was beautiful. He's the perfect guy for the job.
It's very unlike Philadelphia. We always think things are going to go the worst way possible. This time, they went the other way.
No, it's different now. I'm telling you, it's cyclical. All four of these teams are going to be really, really good. They're all going to be competing for championships at the same time.
They're all positioned perfectly.
They are.
They really are. Let's go to David down in Baltimore's on the Fanatic. What's up, David?
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up? So, you know, listen, I want to talk a little Sixers. So I'm going to be very, very honest. Yeah, I think I've mentioned this to you before, Anthony. I used to be a huge, huge Sixers fan. And pre-process, I was definitely a big fan of the process. But to be honest, I never thought we were going to be good ever again. Like, that's how down to the dumps I was about that team. I mean, I used to go to at least 2 Sixers games a year. I used to watch all the games with my brother. But it was so bad, I could not even watch the NBA. And yesterday was like one of the first times I actually went over to watch the game at my mother-in-law's house on the big screen. And I'm going to be very honest, it was so bizarre to watch the Sixers because it's been so long since they've been a real threat. And to even hear the words, you know, a possibility of winning the Eastern Conference Championship title, I still can't get over it. It's just, it's bizarre. I really never thought we'd get to this point. I really didn't. And it was why I stayed away from the NBA for so long. And now I download the NBA app. I'm back into it. But it's just, I was watching the game yesterday. I'm like, is this really the 76ers? I mean, think about it. We were in the finals, what, in 2001?
Yes. Yeah, a long time ago.
18 years.
I know. Hey, it's amazing. It's a lifetime ago.
The last time they were in finals.
And on top of that, wouldn't you also say this league is different than, like, you know, the NBA was, it tends to get so one-sided, especially when LeBron was in the East. And then, then you have the Warriors dominance. Unlike the other leagues where you feel like you have a chance, I just didn't think we had a chance. And then yesterday, to watch that team yesterday, I'd be honest, I was just smiling ear to ear because I never thought it happened again.
No, really. I mean, this is it, man.
And I'm into it.
Yeah. No, this is elite ball. Like, you're not having this kind of basketball, really. I mean, you had the blip in 01, but this goes back to before a lot of you were born.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the last time I watched, I mean, 01, I was about 13, 14 years old. Iverson was my favorite player growing up. But I have to say, you know, I'm definitely old school. I love the old school NBA. I love Joel Embiid. I mean, he's probably my favorite player. I mean, that's because he's on the Sixers. I just love his tenacity. He's a throwback.
Oh, my
he's
God.
A throwback player.
It's amazing how great he is. Like,
and he's the ball on the floor.
Oh, no. He's completely a freak. He's so good. It's unreal. He's so good.
You saw the full arsenal yesterday, too. I mean, he did it all yesterday.
It's amazing when he takes it to the rim.
He beat him off
the glass.
I forget who it was. He beat him off the dribble and just went in and flushed it. And then another time he gets there, he sees that if he takes it to the rim, the double team's going to come. He's like, nah, I'll just do a little turnaround fade. And then next time down the floor, three. And then his free throw percentage is ridiculous.
Well, it's amazing because of his touch. Like, you know, big men have touch like that. It's absurd. Like, that's where it's so scary. Because he's got better touch than the Dream.
It is.
He's got a better touch than Hakeem Olajuwon, which is, like, unbelievable to say.
I saw this tweeted out today. I took a screenshot of it. Most games in the NBA with 30 points and 10 rebounds. James Harden's got 11. Anthony Davis, 16, with 30 points and at least 10 rebounds. Giannis, 19 times has had 30 and 10 or more. Joel Embiid leading the league. 23 games of 30 or more points and 10 or more rebounds.
And I think about this, too.
Wow.
I mean, he could do it every night if he played and if he got the minutes. Like, he could easily, you know, part of what, like, Westbrook and Harden, they play 40-some minutes a night. So, you know, and they play for stats, too. Oh. Well, you know Westbrook last year. It was a concerted effort to get him into the MVP. I got to tell you, Joe should be into the MVP talk. Like, I know Giannis is having a freak season, and Harden did that thing where those 10 games was absurd. But Embiid should be the same thing in the MVP because it doesn't work without him. It can work without any of the other ones, but it doesn't work without the generational big.
He's the irreplaceable piece. So yesterday he has 37 points in 32 minutes. He's 12 of 16 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3-point, and 11 of 12 from the free throw line. He ends up with 14 rebounds in the game, 3 assists, and only had 3 turnovers.
No,
plus 23.
It doesn't work without him. That's why he should be in the MVP talk.
I mean, look at that. Look at the percentages on that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sixers as a team yesterday, the shooting percentage was ridiculous. I mean, the first quarter, I think the Lakers shot like 63% in the first quarter. You knew they weren't going to sustain that.
That's right.
Amazing. Let's go to, by the way, coming up in 15 minutes, we'll sit down with Elton Brand here in studio. Sixers general manager will join us. We're looking forward to that. Let's go to Paul in Abington on the Fanatic. How you doing, Paulie?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Paul.
I guess I kind of want your thoughts on this. So, Sixers are nasty right now. The lineup is nasty. But the only way this is going to work is if everybody is all in. And the only concern I have is when... Is Jimmy Butler all in on this? Is he's giving up? Harris came in on fire, so people are going to lose their shots because everybody's a scorer in this lineup. And
not everybody, right? Nah. Because you think about it, right? With Ben being facilitator,
true,
and JJ is more of a you got me, I'm here for you. He's not going to demand shots. He knows his role on this team. Is that when he gets the ball, make the shot. That's it.
Yeah.
So Jimmy plays an important role because he's also the guy who's going to have the ball in his hands in a close game, right?
Yeah. Yes. Well, you guys probably hear more than we do as fans. Is he all in? That's my concern. I'm 50-50 if he's going to sign with us next year, but that's next year.
Yeah, don't worry about next year yet.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to take him for his word and say he's all in. Because, Paul, if he's not all in on this team, well, then he's done in the league. Because everybody knows then if you can't make it work on this team and you want out, then go away. Because that's three teams, including a great team, that you would not have worked in. So I'm going to take it for his word that for his own career that he wants in.
It's great. I mean, if he's all in, I mean, imagine this team next year even when they all gel together. You know, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, totally, brother. Totally.
All right, man. Thanks.
Good stuff, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
All right.
Dominic tweets in and he says, regarding you being okay with Magic working out with Ben, he says, no player for any organization should be working out with for anyone on another team's payroll, let alone a GM president. NBA shouldn't allow it regardless of what the teams say. And I agree with that stance.
Yeah, listen,
there's
a
major conflict of interest.
I get it. I mean, here's one thing, though. If you have a former great player and you have a young player that feels the need to work with said player, same way with, you know, Embiid going to work with a Shaq or going to work, I don't know, go pick the big man that's affiliated with another organization. You know how it works. You know, I remember Charlie Manuel saying to, telling me that there was a kid. Who was it? Was it on the Braves? That he worked, he gave him some tips. Because those guys view it as the game. Like
passing down knowledge.
You're supposed to be true to the game.
Yeah, you're passing down knowledge.
And I remember Charlie telling me that, and I purposely never brought it up because I know the reaction.
Because it's a guy on the Braves.
Right.
Helping the opponent.
Right. But, you know, in his mind, it's not about I'm helping the opponent. It's about I'm giving back to the game, and I'm helping a young player become a great player.
Now, was Charlie the manager when that happened?
Yeah.
Oh, so he was the manager of the Phillies. That's a violation, Charlie. I don't like that. That kid comes up in a couple years and in a big spot, boom, smacks a double.
You know, it's about this. It's about being true to the game.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's what it is. I understand the point.
I'm fine with it too, as long as he's not involved with the Lakers.
Quite frankly, I get the point, and I understand it. I understand where you're coming from. My only point is, I don't have to live in fear of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
There's something special going on right now. Just enjoy it.
But I agree with you to the extent that Magic is the perfect guy because he is he was a 6'8 point guard that could run the floor, had a tremendous ability to facilitate, and lacked the shot when he came into the league. So yeah, checks all those boxes other than that he's involved with the Lakers. That's my only issue.
Listen, I hate Magic. I hate Bird. All right?
You hate Magic?
Yes.
And I don't hate Magic.
I do. I hate him. No, I hate him. Well, I'm going to be wrong. I hate Magic. Magic forever. I'll see that forever. 32. I'll see that smile. I'll see losing in 80. I'll see losing in 82. So I hate Magic. Like I hate Bird. Hate Bird a little more, but I hate Magic too. So, you know, this is not because I have some affinity toward Magic Johnson. I just want Ben to become the best player he can be.
And use every tool.
That's it.
He has at his disposal. We'll see if he gets that tool. Brian in the Northeast is on the Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
What's going on, boys?
Yo, Bri.
Only guy, no offense here, Jason, but only guy from Avalon would say that someone moved to the main line to be like us. You know what I mean? Like the Northeast, South Philly, we don't really associate with the main line. You know what I mean?
It wasn't like he moved to Newtown Square.
Right.
He's one of us. He moved to the main line. Well, I got news for you. I ain't living in the main line. I drive by it.
I don't know if I've even met anybody from the main line. You might be the closest, Jason, because you went to Malvern.
Yeah, believe me.
You're my connection.
They
to the
bust
main
me
line.
In and bust me out, Bri.
I can't stand Magic Johnson. I hate him. I actually hate him more than Bird. Like, it's up there because we lost the championship to him. I think he's a weasel. And when did he become Herb McGee, where he's training fire? Who else is he training? Because I was on a group text earlier this morning. And, you know, I didn't like a couple guys were your mindset. And I said you would eviscerate them. And now I'm getting texts that my boy, who's you know, is okay with it. So I need you to help me.
You're stunned.
I'm
stunned a little, bro.
You know why?
I'm like knocked off my chair because I know you hate Magic. I don't even think I've never heard it, but I know
I despise him.
Right?
No, in fact, I just literally said it. I despise him. I hate the smile. I hate the Lakers. I hate purple.
I hope he catches an elbow and knocks some teeth out when he's training back.
I do too. I'm with you. I same thing. My only point is I want Ben to become the best player possible. So if that
I just don't know if him doing that ever. Has he trained anybody before?
I'm sure he's worked out.
Oh,
yeah,
sure
I know he's worked out with other dudes.
Oh yeah, those guys can't stay off the floor.
Like, I totally get your point. I hate the guy. Like, I hate everything about the Lakers. Like, you don't understand. Like, the Lakers, the Celtics, I hate them. I hate Jabbar.
You'll never get over it.
I hate Goggles. I hate Worthy. I hate Purple. I hate Gold.
You've stricken those colors from the rainbow.
I hate them. Like, I hate that Celtic. I hate the Clover. I want to light them all on fire on the ground.
No parquet floors in your house.
No. The hell no. No, seriously, if I see a parquet floor in somebody's basement, I want to pee on it. It's terrible.
Sixers.
All right?
Elton Brand will join us momentarily. Sixers GM will be in studio, and he'll sit down with us, and we'll get to talk to E-Trade. What a great name for Elton Brand that somebody came up with. I know you wrote down the guy's name. I can't remember off the top of my head, but great.
Yeah, I love that name. It's a good name.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, our opportunity is now. So once I saw that window, you know, we discussed taking a shot at it now because who knows how long this window is going to be open.
Well, those words, those profound words belong to the gentleman in front of us right now. It's the Midday Show with Jason Bertizzo. I'm Anthony Gargano. And joining us right here in studio, the esteemed general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers and team president, Chris Heck. Join us, Elton Brand, E-B-E-Train. What's going on, B-E?
E-Train.
Did you hear that yet? The E-Train? Yeah,
that's a new nickname.
I just got traded, by the way. They just shipped me out of here.
I traded chairs. Tom, glad to be here, as always. Glad to be here.
First of all, guys, Chris, I want to start with you for a reason. Chris, there have been many times during this six-year run that you've been president of the team where the process started and it was like, roll up the sleeves. We know what's ahead of us. And then you get some of the players and you get some of the pieces. And then all of a sudden, there's something unforeseen that occurs that makes it difficult to get up to go to work. And then as you trudge through it all, you have yesterday. What does yesterday mean to what happened at the beginning of this thing?
Well, you know what? We've had a lot of good days, a lot of good moments. It is definitely, we're not there. But what Elton and his team have allowed us to dream about is something that we didn't expect this soon. But we knew we were going that way. This is the direction, you know, there's a time and place for everything. And the time right now is Elton's time. And what he's done for our franchise right now going into the spring is extraordinary. And it's an absolute gift. And I will say this, like the backing of Josh Harris and David Blitzer to give Elton
Michael,
the keys, like, it is absolutely amazing, though, that what he's done in such a short period of time. It's unthinkable.
It really is. It's amazing how you completely just transform this team. Look, we come into this thing, and it's, all right, we got Ben, we got Joe, and we got Fultz. All right, let's figure out what, like, how do you get that next piece? And we were all, you know, Brett talked about star hunting, Elton, the whole stuff with star hunting and all of that. And the first piece lands in Jimmy, who's a great fit on this team. And then you pull the trade deadline, like, miracle with Tobias to go along with JJ. And you have assembled the starting five of all starting fives right next to the Warriors.
Yeah, no, it was division. You know, we spoke earlier, and I said we're still not good enough. Like, this isn't enough. There were talks of Eastern Conference Finals, you know, preseason. Not good enough. Jimmy Butler, or much closer. Then we had a chance to pull the trigger on Tobias Harris, all-star caliber player, high character person. He comes into that locker room. He's a great man. He wants to win. He's selfless. And we needed that. Mike Scott, that whole group. So that was the next piece to add for the growth of this team, this organization, and to make the city of Philadelphia proud.
When you look at, take us through the Tobias Harris thing. His name was not a name that was rumored a lot, and you know, especially with you guys. Yeah. And then, you know, that happens in the wee hours of the morning. I'm sure that you didn't get a lot of sleep that night, but it comes down to that night that Tobias Harris is a Sixers. How did that kind of, that whole process take place with him?
You know, Dave Schall is here. He's the head of our PR and stuff. He knows I hate sources. You know, it's all about relationships.
Locking it down.
Yeah, it's all about relationships and trust if you're going to get a real big deal done. Even with Jimmy Butler, it's like, oh, where'd the Sixers come from? We were talking about that thing for months. So it's, you have to keep things close to the vest if you really want to get some things done. And our organization and our group, we were able to do that this time. But we spoke about it about a week or two. Then it got some legs. Then it got close. And then they were fighting. You know, it's like, oh, man, Landry, you know, he's a great player. But I'm like, the time is now. This window is now. And then we rebooted, got 3 first-round picks, 10 second-round picks in the next 3 years. So we still have an opportunity to use those if we need them.
Yeah, the idea of the price, and some people say it was a steep price, I look at it and I go, you have flexibility with your max contracts now. So, you know, you like the way this thing looks, you easily can go as is. Maybe Kevin Durant winks at you. You can do whatever you want, right? Like, there's a multitude of ways, but you've also put this team in position to be one of the elites. And when you're one of the elites, you attract everybody. And that includes the ring chasers that come in and fill out a bench for you that go, hey, look, I want to come and be a part of this thing and try to glom on.
Absolutely. So during my presentation to be the general manager, I explained to, you know, Josh Harris, David Blitzer, who, as Chris alluded to, really backed this situation, gave us the keys to go out there and look at a core of four potential big, big salaried players and agree to do that in the future if that's what we want to do. So I explained to them, like, I know the Corey Brewers of the world that can come in for a 10-day. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I can identify these veterans that want to ring, that want to come to Philadelphia and be a part of something great. So so I have to prove that, and I have to keep working at that. But that's our goal.
You've identified this is the time. You said this is the time to make that next step. You know, you move on from some assets that you didn't want to. That Heat 2021 pick is probably one. Shamit, who you mentioned, Dario earlier in the season, along with Covington. But what brought you to the conclusion that now is the time to strike, to put these, you got some expiring contracts, but to go for it now and put the best talent on the floor?
You know, just Ben's development. You know, he's an all-star. Joel is really, you know, MVP candidate, truly. So I don't know how long this window's going to be open. You have the opportunity cost of, you know, injuries, you know, other players. So it's like, let me give these players a chance now. I see other disgruntled superstars wanting to leave because their management, their organization, their city didn't give them the backing of talent to compete at a championship level. So that's why we had to go for it. And, you know, the Miami pick, we got that draft night. It was tough to get. We had it, but that's why we got it. Star hunting, like Coach Brown said.
Turn it around.
Let's go back for a second before we go forward and look at what's going on. Let's go back to you, because I'm fascinated by your ascent, right? So the unthinkable happens, and the Colangelo calamity occurs, right? It comes out of left field. Nobody sees it. You were in here. We were talking about Del. We're hanging out. You're working your way into the front office, you know, to have your own squad, your own vision. And then out of the blue, this thing happens. And the ownership goes out, and they want to do what's best for this franchise. They're looking at the top guys, Daryl Morey, this. They're waiting. They're not going to give anyone the job. They want the best for this thing. And then you make the presentation. And take us through from that moment into your own, how you did it and what you saw and knew that you could handle this gig.
Yeah, now I'll take it back to, you know, running the Bluecoats, being the GM there. When I was sitting here in that chair next to you and you promised me a game that you never came to. But then...
You can still go. We can still arrange that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Just Elton won't be there.
That's right. Elton's... He went to the opening.
I went to the opening.
Absolutely.
The field house is... 76 field house is amazing. But I had that opportunity to, you know, present and to interview for the GM spot. And I looked at our group. Ned Cohen, Mark Eversley, Alex Rucker, you know, what Coach Brown has done to raise the environment in this culture. And I said, listen, I could be a G League GM for a few years, grow, VP of basketball operations, grow, or I could take my shot now, go for the GM. I'll be under a lot of pressure. Who knows how long this run will be, but my talent, my staff, I believed in them, and they wanted to feel safe. They deserved to feel safe. They helped get us to where we are now. So now I took a shot for them and for myself.
You know, let me interject here, too, just from my perspective.
Yeah, Chris. Chris Hack, president of the Sixers.
I was asked this question, actually, earlier this week, and, you know, how does Elton Brand pull all this off? You know, he just got here. You know, and I took a step back and was thinking about it. I'm like, gotten to know Elton quite well, you know, over the last couple of years. Here's somebody that's actually been a businessman for a very long time. He's actually been a superstar in this league. He's been a longtime NBA player. He's been really training and focused on this job, whether he knew it or not, for his entire life. So, and now he's an old man of almost 40. but Elton... he doesn't miss a beat. And I know, you know, he's probably, you know, rolling his eyes at me right now. But I'm telling you right now, everything that's out there, he has absorbed and has brought into his own personality. So he's authentic to himself. He's secure with himself. And he's actually pulling off things that are the unthinkable. And this is the story behind the story.
It's a great story.
And he should be the executive of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
Without a doubt. I mean, you look at what you've established, that vision. Because now when you look at this, first of all, it's the greatest five since 83. And, you know, when you watch them play together, they all fit. Like, you saw stretch four. You saw Ben, our facilitator. Everything's about spacing this game. You saw this league change as a great dominant post-up player that you were, that also had a little mid-range touch to you for a big man. You saw this game and how it's developed.
Yeah, no, I saw the game, how it developed. Saw where we were in the playoffs last year, having 6'6 to 6'9, 10 wings that can switch defensively, force the tempo, and of course spread to the 3-point shot to give big fella Joel Embiid some space down there. So, you know, that was part of the vision. So when we could do that, and also add some toughness and some grit off the bench. We have some players that can defend, they can run, and they can also hit the shot.
Yeah.
And again, good character people. So that was my vision there. But you know, all the accolades are great, and I appreciate the kind words from Chris. But as we know, the players are the ones out there doing the work. So I appreciate what they're doing and how much work they put in.
Yeah, we actually got a tweet from a Nicole C on Twitter. She said, "Tell Elton that she said thank you so much." The people are going bananas right now, and rightfully so. But when you go back to when you acquired Jimmy Butler, because there was obviously some issues that were reported, and whether, you know, some stuff that he had with teammates and coaches or whatever it was. But you got to do your due diligence and look into that stuff. And he comes here and he fits perfectly from a basketball perspective. Is he a long-term guy that you want to keep around this thing with these four players so you can move forward and keep that window propped open as wide as you can?
Absolutely. The goal is to keep all four. JJ also, we'll throw him in there. You know, keep that core together as long as this window can stay open, for sure. And the managing partnership group, Josh Harris, David Blitzer, they're on board. Michael, you talked about Michael Rubin. They're all on board and ready to go.
Is Jimmy, do you worry about Jimmy at all? Jimmy's a different kind of cat. His story's amazing. You know, what he had to overcome in life. You know, he's that kind of guy. He wants to win. He's vocal. He's an alpha in a lot of ways. And you know, is there any part of you that worries about him at all?
Those parts of me are outside of me. That's other people. Like, I'm not worried about
it's
Jimmy.
Right.
Yeah, like, I have a great relationship with Jimmy Butler. The best is yet to come. I'm excited to see him in a playoff atmosphere. Like, that's what I'm waiting for, to see. And so he can show the world and, you know, the NBA, what Jimmy Butler's about. So I'm not worried about that noise.
Yeah, I think it is. And I do think it's a lot of noise in a lot of sense. That's followed him, obviously. And if you can't make it work here, I always go back to one thing. I believe that Jimmy Butler wants to win.
Yeah.
Right? So knowing that, he sees this team. He's a smart dude. He goes, this is the spot. If I can't make it work here, I can't make it work anywhere. I might as well go to Memphis.
And he's a realist. Like, he admitted to me personally, like, some of the stuff that followed him, he did do. Like, on purpose. Like,
oh, took ownership.
You know, he took ownership of it all. So this, he really wants to win. He wants to be happy, and he's happy here.
Sixers general manager Elton Brand with us, and team president Chris Eck. Elton, when you look at the situation with Markelle Fultz, I know this was one that was particularly difficult to deal with because there were so many layers to that storyline. But in ultimately making that decision to move forward, that was about now. But did you have some reservations about making that move, considering the talent that he does have that just hasn't been tapped yet?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's tough because number one pick, if you surveyed the league, majority of the GMs would have taken him number one and traded what we traded. They did the same thing. He's that talented. It's just our timeline's a little different right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we wish him the best with Orlando. Hopefully that works out. Maybe not too well, but it works out because we did have to trade him. But we root for him. And, you know, I said this last night, once a Sixer, always a Sixer. So he knows we'll support him and his family any way they need it.
So one of the things I want both you and Chris to chime in here, because one of the things that cropped up was the Ben and Magic thing. So Ben reached out to Magic to go to work, to see if he'd work out. And Magic, of course, says, well, let's see if the parties agree, that sort of thing. Your feelings on Ben working out with Magic in the offseason?
So there's a backstory. Let me take this, Chris. So there's a backstory to that.
Oh, boy.
So Sean Tribe and Liam Tribe, these are Ben Simmons' brothers, wanted him this offseason to be around all-time greats, talk to champions about their preparation. their work ethic, their focus, what made them champions. So Michael Jordan, Kobe, you know, these type level players.
Sure.
Dr. J,
yeah.
Get them with these ultimate, you know, just winners. And somehow Magic got in the mix. And they asked me, Rob Pelinka called me and said, hey, you know, we're hearing Ben wants to talk to Hall of Famers, championship level players, and Magic's on the list. We need authorization for him to meet up. And I said, no. This is over a month ago. Hey, so I said no.
Is there a better Philly answer than that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I just got chills because I'm so proud of Elton.
You're the best. I said no.
We didn't sign off on whatever they're talking about. So, you know, if Ben and his family and say, hey, we do want to talk to Magic about being a 6'9 point guard, I mean, I don't mind going there and being there
Ben
with 6'11. Them if I have to.
Yeah, no recruitment happened.
But that, we didn't agree to that.
See, that's the thing. Okay if Magic's just with the Dodgers, you know, but the fact that you're an executive with the Lakers, I got an issue there.
I agree.
Okay, see, we're on the same page.
Explain the contract situation with Ben, because I do think there's a fear.
Control.
There's a fear of Ben leaving, and that permeates the fan base. So explain to them that we actually have control.
Yeah, we have control. Well, I mightn't say control. Of course, player can do what they choose to do, but we have a great opportunity to lock him up long term for a much bigger number than other teams. And again, his family, he's happy here. He's devoted to winning. So he's really happy here in Philadelphia. He sees what the city can do and what a good team can do for him and his brand and just his ball game. He enjoys it here.
And just what you have surrounded. I mean, I look at the players around him and I go, A, why would you not want to play? Ben's the ultimate guy you want to play with because he's going to get you the ball. And he's going to get you the ball, and you might as well be just frozen in your shooting stance because that's where the ball's going to be, and you can just go right up with it.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Like Tobias Harris, when I was talking to him and his agent, they're like, man, we've never played with a point guard like Ben. That's going to get us the ball. So they're all excited.
Elton, when you look at the situation, you played here in Philadelphia, and this is for both of you, Chris, too, because that building yesterday, and it has been last year, 16 straight wins in the regular season, and just the home court advantage is so pronounced. On Friday, you have the Moses Malone ceremony, and so many alumni. Charles is there, Julius, who we talked to on Friday, AI, the stars are coming out, Wentz and Alshon are at the game, Mike Trout. This is the place to be. You guys have to feel very proud that the city has grasped onto this so much, and just how exciting everybody is. I mean, it's an electric environment.
I will say this. The fans are so astute. They know what's going on, and they know what's going on in several layers beyond what they see on the court. You know, I was with Dave Schuller, who's with us today, and we're sitting with Elton on Friday night, and he had to run up to do an interview. And there was three sections that saw Elton stand up and walk down the aisle. And they all stood up and clapped and started chanting his name.
Bananas. Yeah.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. But the fans get it. They have always gotten it. It's just there's more of them now, right? And it's awesome. We expect this during playoff time, not on the first week of February.
Yeah. Did you get chills, Chris?
Oh, this is why we work there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
that building gives me chills.
Listen, we think that we have an obligation to the fans of Philadelphia. And it's like, this is our chance and our time to resurrect this brand and do it in the right way. And so every time you see something like this happen, you know, it's a prideful moment. It's not just, it's not a selfish pride. It's a pride for the city.
Every time, Elton, I see that seven with the circular stars over it, it warms my heart. And it warms my heart that this is what these guys did for the brand, to bring that back and to solidify it like you did on the floor with success. It's made a lot of people who miss basketball in this town really happy. And the fact that you could understand, you could talk to players. Like, see, to me, you're a perfect guy for this job because you bridge gaps, right? Like, you can talk to anyone in the business community, and you can talk to the players because they respect you.
Absolutely. So bridging the gap between, you know, the managing partnership, coaching and players. You know, I think that's one of my, you know, my key values that I bring to this job and to this organization, because I can talk to, you know, a rookie, Jimmy Butler, an all-star, Joel Embiid, talk to coach, you know, how we're thinking, what we're going to do, how we're going to flow. And Chris Heck and I on the business side, we have a great, great relationship also. So, absolutely.
Taking this thing into June? NBA Finals? You know, I got to get you on the record.
One step at a time. Yeah. Absolutely. But that's the goal, to grow towards that.
Let's
for
just
sure.
beat Boston on Tuesday.
I don't want to annihilate them.
By 30.
So what I want to do is I look at Boston, I look at Toronto, mm-hmm. I look at Milwaukee.
Yep.
And I'm making statements. All right, I'm coming out, and I'm looking at my rotation. I'm going to devise my rotation, mm-hmm. so I come out early and I just bury them. I want to make statement, and starts Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. All right, with I freaking still hate them. All right, I hate
started
them.
Yesterday actually.
I know, but I hate those Celtics more than life. All right, so we got to bury them. This is revenge time from last year. All right,
all right.
Ed's the king of playing the game before the game's played. He's been playing it since yesterday.
No, I have
the final buzzer hit.
I want to make statements the rest of the week because that matters. Come playoff time,
get in their head.
See, beauty is, come playoff time, when the game's a half-court game, this team can play, absolutely. Right? Yep. This team, last year, look, we understood that this team could not play half-court.
Yep.
Now it's different. Now, with Jimmy and with Tobias, this team is as lethal as anyone in the half-court.
I agree, especially in the East. And don't leave out Indiana. They're going to be a team to contend with.
Without Oladipo.
Yeah, they've won 5-6 in a row, too. But yeah, the East you know, has 4 or 5 of the best teams in the league, period. So it's going to be a tough fight, mm-hmm. but we're up for it. For
all right,
sure.
My last question for you. How much of a freak is Joel Embiid? I mean, the touch for his size, the full arsenal of different shots that he can make defensively, so good. I mean, could you imagine a player at that size being this agile with the handle and everything else that he brings to the floor?
No,
it's ridiculous.
I can't. You know, I guarded, you know, Shaq in his prime. Yeah. I guarded, you know, Hakeem at the end of his career, and just Dwight Howard in his prime. But it's just amazing, his touch, his skill, be able to make free throws, be able to shoot three-pointers, you know, handle the ball. You know, he talks about how he dunked on me, you know, a few years ago.
I was going to say, you practiced against Joel, you know. Yeah. There's some firsthand experience here.
Oh, I didn't. And I'm saying this young man has all-time great talent, all-time great, for sure.
I mean, it's amazing because he's still in growth mode. But he's still immature on the floor only because he learned the game so late and he's so young. And what is amazing is his mind. He's a brilliant, smart dude. And he's got the mind where he mimics moves. He's like an art forger, right?
Yeah.
No, he's amazing. Like, the dunk on me was because he watched Shaq.
okay.
So, no, he can emulate. He's so intelligent. He can emulate any move out there, from a point guard to a center. Anything he likes, he can add it to his game. It's just special, special talent.
It is. All right, guys, listen, we know you got to go, and we got a big meeting here at the station, but I want to thank you both.
Yeah, thank you.
All right? I mean, EB, what you've done is just amazing. Keep it going.
Thanks, man.
Chris, you believed in this brand. You've worked really hard. I know that the staff behind this whole thing has been doing it for 6 years, coming in and ownership, and you've turned your thing around, man. It's a time to really just enjoy it.
I got to give you guys a shout out. 97.5, been a great partner of the 76ers. You guys live it too. And Anthony, you've been our biggest advocate over the years. So we appreciate you and the station.
Yeah. Thanks, awesome. Boys.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Go. Beat Boston, he's beat. Annihilate him.
Let's take the quick break. We'll come back with more. Wow, what a fun visit that was. And we'll talk about it with everybody on the phones at 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Sixers, impressive win. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this update is brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. You may not always need a water heater, but when you do, choose Bradford White. The Sixers faced LeBron and the Lakers yesterday in Philadelphia and beat them 143-120. Joel Embiid led all Sixers in scoring with 37 points. He also had 14 rebounds. Newly acquired Tobias Harris finished with 22. J.J. Redick had 21, and Jimmy Butler finished with 15. The Sixers are now 16 games above 500. trailing the Milwaukee Bucks by 5.5 games for the top spot in the Eastern Conference, and they are just one game behind the Pacers for the third seed. They return Tuesday night when they face the Celtics. The Flyers return to action tonight. They will face the Penguins at home. They are coming off a win on Saturday over the Ducks. That was the 8th straight win for the Flyers when Carter Hart was in net. That tied a record for a goalie under the age of 21. Puck drop will be at 7 o'clock tonight. Before that, make sure you listen to the Fanatic Flyers Weekly with our own Jason Martinez. This update is also brought to you by Boston Market. The traffic sounds pretty bad. Know what sounds pretty good? Boston Market's slow-cooked prime rib. You can get it for dinner Wednesday to Saturday after 5 and Sunday afternoon. That's Boston Market. We know you're busy, so we made it easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for daily best-of-show podcast. I'm Andrew Salchunas on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitis. Middays, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.